chest? Yeah.
Cold in here.
But I mean, I turned on the water.
We'll call the meeting to order. This is the Unit 303 Board of Education regular monthly meeting. It is 7 o'clock p.m. on Monday, December 9th, 2013. I want to thank everyone for coming out on a cold and snowy night. Would you call the roll, please?
Mr. Gaffney.
Here.
Mrs. Huell.
Here.
Mr. Manheim.
Here.
Mrs. McConnell.
Here.
Mr. McNally.
Here.
Mrs. Pratt.
Here.
Mr. Swimming.
Here. Would you join me in the pledge to the flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And we start off tonight with a public hearing to adopt the aggregate tax levy and stating intent to abate debt service levy for the year 2013. So we'll call the public meeting to order. Mr. Chapman, would you like to give us a brief summary of what we're doing and why?
Yes, sir. Tonight's the last step in a process that began in October, and we've worked through the Business Services Committee, and this is material that's presented to you tonight was also the same as was presented in November. All legal and state requirements have been followed throughout the process. The levy for tonight, as I mentioned, has been modified, and it will limit the increase to an average current taxpayer at 2.5% or less. And this levy will achieve this through the commitment to abate the debt service levy by approximately $1.8 million, which brings the cumulative abatement over the past 2 years to a little over $4.3 million. And then upon approval of the levy tonight, we will go ahead and file that in accordance for the last Tuesday of December.
Okay. Okay. We will not have any comments from the public, only with regards to this subject. We'll do citizens' comments separately. Are there any public comments?
Yeah, Mrs. Lopez-Ansky had signed up for citizen comments, but she wants to speak about the tax levy, so I it might be more appropriate.
Okay.
All right. And I do have something that the public comment, but if I can address the tax levy right now.
Well, if you want to make one comment just specific to this, that'd be great. Then you can come up later.
Good evening. Upon reviewing the last 5 years of tax levy resolutions, I would like to ask the board to reevaluate the need for an increase in the tax levy and placing more of a financial burden on the taxpayers of the school community. With the current reduction in student enrollment, it would appear to be a financial burden on the taxpayers, and it begs to question why the district would need approximately $3 million more over last year's tax levy. The education fund appears to be hit with a $5 million reduction over 2012, and I would like to know how that fund balance total was determined and if it will affect the resources that are made available to teachers and students. The most significant increase in this 2013 tax levy is in special education fund, which is more than $10 million, which is up from $2,100,000 from the 2012 tax levy. So that's an increase of $8 million. And I would just like to know if the board can identify what is going to be different in this tax fund, with this fund being increased this way. Are you adding more programs? Is there a reason to increase it so significantly when I really have not read anything about program changes or anything else being changed for next year within the district? So if that could be addressed, I would greatly appreciate it. On a separate note, beyond the tax levy, if I may, can I continue my comments? That's all right. I just wanted to let the board know that Marcia Kelly from the ISBE is continuing on her investigation with the occupational therapy noncompliance of minutes for students. She is going to continue on to make sure that the district does follow suit and make sure that the students will be making up their minutes and how that will be done. I did notice tonight on the personnel report you are hiring another occupational therapist. But, of course, that's 3 months after the fact, after the first week. The start of school year was August. And so I'm concerned about the day-to-day progress that was lost by students not receiving those occupational therapy minutes that's in a mandated document in an IEP that is met with your evaluating teams, your teachers, Again, the hiring of an occupational therapist, these students lost skills they had developed with previous highly qualified therapists that had worked successfully in D303 schools and who applied for the occupational therapy positions, but they were not interviewed or considered. Noncompliance of an IEP is a serious matter. I am also concerned by the loss of objectivity by current and former board members that have attended the administrative leadership golf outing since 2009. The district has been soliciting funds to sponsor golf holes for $250 for goodie bag prizes for administrators. This is being done by employees on taxpayer dollars and using the district's tax exempt number to purchase items unrelated to the education of students. This appears to be a violation of school board policy under ethics. How can this issue be addressed when it would appear board members may no longer be able to be objective? A concern is how that is affecting their judgment to hold administrators accountable.
Do you have much more?
Just two more things. Okay. That's it, and then I'm done. Okay. So its concern is how it's affecting their judgment to vote on issues to hold administrators accountable if the line has been blurred. I commend the board's transparency to posting FOIA requests online and hope that will include all attachments of the responses for the public to review and not just a response letter. I value your time and the job you serve as a volunteer and appreciate your attention to student-related and fiscal matters that the taxpayers of this district have given each of you to do with their vote. Thank you very much for your time this evening. I appreciate it.
All right. And then with regards to the tax levy and the abatement, are there any board member comments or questions?
I don't really have a question, but I really do want to flesh out better for a public's explanation of what we're trying to do with the debt levy, I mean with the abatement relative to the refunding of the, I don't want to use the wrong word, but what we've been doing and how that relates to the overall limit that we're trying to put on the increases. I think it all goes together, and I think it's really worth something, worth spelling out.
Yeah, probably best explain it with when debt is put together, has been in the past, usually there's some growth rate that's expected for going forward, and you're doing it 20 years out. And so often you backload substantial amounts of that debt because you're going to have more people paying for it as the district grew. That was not unusual and fairly common practice in all districts. We have a fair amount of debt that's near the end of our life cycle. It will be expiring in about 2017, and so there's that increase in there. So what the Board of Education is doing here is trying to be cognizant of that and lower that so that the impact on the taxpayer isn't anywhere near as substantial as it was. So what you heard Mr. Chapman say today is that we've over 2 years, we've been able to lower that by $4.3 million impact to the taxpayer by what you're doing there is abating that increase. So it has not nearly as much impact to the taxpayer. Still has an impact, but not nearly as much as what it would have been.
In the citizen comments, we're asking, in effect, for $8 million more.
Yeah,
what's the purpose of
that? Yeah, it's not $8 million. It's $8 million more, and I'll let Mr. Chapman speak to it, but it's $8 million more in that levy, but overall the total levy, and so it's just a matter of all those levies are interchangeable in some respects, so we were paying quite a bit of our special ed costs out of our ed fund, and so the special ed levy is now picking up more of that. So it's relative to just how we do our accounting practices. You want to speak to it at all? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I think the only thing I would add is we were really, when you looked at just our special ed costs alone, in the prior year we were under-levied in the special ed fund, but because, as Dr. Solomon said, the ed fund and the special ed fund really go hand in hand, there is no difference. I mean, we're moving those dollars into special ed to be a little bit more appropriate to where those dollars are being spent.
So total levy, you've seen the total levy, and in regards to that and what the increase is, it's just a matter of the bookkeeping as to where they are.
Okay, and if we have fewer students, do we have more students in special ed? Is that why we're going to be spending more money in special ed?
Well, we don't have necessarily more students in special ed. We're not spending more money in special ed. We were spending that money before in special ed. It's just a matter of we lowered the amount increase in the ed fund and put more of that increase in the special ed fund. So it's a bookkeeping transfer. It's not an increase in cost. But there is an increase in cost, clearly, in special ed, as there is in our regular ed as well, but not to the extent of $8 million in any respect.
Although I don't mean to answer the question, but I think I want just to comment on what your comment is. I do think that there has to be huge increases in the special ed because the state isn't paying. The state has told us they're not paying something. I hesitate to say what it is. And we can see from the bills, there are numerous students that are costing the district $100,000 a year. I mean, it's beyond. It's kind of just escalating. And so I'm not defending it. I'm just saying we're stuck doing it, you know, whatever we're, you know, required to do. And it's extreme.
Pardon?
Unfunded mandates.
Well, your unfunded mandate and my unfunded mandate is somebody else's appropriate requirements by the state. It depends on your side of the perspective on it.
Well, no, it doesn't matter if they're not funding them and they're mandating them. It doesn't matter whether I like them or don't like them. They still are unfunded mandates. Is that true?
I mean, it goes back to the federal government. I don't want to get into too deep, but originally there was a promise that the federal government would pay 60% of the cost of special ed when it was passed in 1975. They're nowhere near that in regards to that. So I think there's a fair amount of costs associated with special ed programs. There's no doubt about that. If you look at the number of students we serve about 12% of our student population is special ed. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's probably close to 22% of our cost, I think. I'd have to look at it exactly, but is in that area.
Anything further? Questions, comments?
No, I actually am grateful that you're moving it. I've been working on a chart of accounts, all the profit and loss statement, and having accurate bookkeeping numbers is good for the taxpayers, so they know where the real allocation of their resources are.
Okay. Seeing no further questions or comments, no motions are necessary for this, so we will close the hearing. And that takes us to citizen comments. Were there any other citizen comments? Okay. Seeing none, let's move on to the superintendent's report. Dr. Schulman?
Well, in light of a football game tonight that I'm sure at least some of our board members want to see, we're going to go really quickly. And Kathy Litz is here, I think, to present a check. Is that right, Kathy? Sodexo?
Good evening. I'd like to introduce Hester Berry. She's from the Northern Illinois Food Bank. And I'm just going to read a little sentence here. On behalf of the Sodexo Foundation Board of Directors, I'm pleased to announce that the Northern Illinois Food Bank has been selected to receive a $1,000 grant from Sodexo Foundation earmarked for Sodexo at St. Charles Community School District 303 to support the Backpack Food Program. We now have three schools that are on the Backpack Program: Richmond, Davis, and Anderson. And the Illinois Food Bank has supplied, in each backpack there's enough food for a family of four for the weekend. They have supplied 768 backpacks since September through December. So this is a very good program to help those families that don't have the means to eat over the weekend.
Thank you, Sodexo, for continuing to support this backpack program. And I would also like to thank the school board and the school staff at the schools that we work with, because I know it takes some time to identify kids and to manage the program. And we have some school districts that just don't have the resources to serve the kids through this program. So thank you for working with us, partnering with us, so that these kids don't have to go hungry on the weekend and hopefully can come back to school on Monday ready to learn and not distracted by hunger. So thank you for your partnership. Any questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, both of you. Thanks to Sodexo and thanks to the food bank as well. So And then one other announcement, just real quickly, special night for special kids. Speaking about special ed, love to have board members come if you can, December 11th at 5 o'clock at Davis. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Hopefully it's a little bit warmer for the kids than what it is tonight, but usually not. So that completes the superintendent's report.
Okay, thank you. And that brings us to committee reports. So we did not have business services, right?
We did.
We did. Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah. We had a couple of items. We reviewed the October financial report, and that'll be in your board packet for information. Scott Dusner from Klein Hall presented an audit presentation for the year, and that was going to be posted on our district website, and I believe he had a hard copy for any board members that wanted them. Next, we talked about the resolution to adopt the aggregate tax levy and stating the intent to abate debt service, which we heard about for the public hearing, and then that'll be on for action. We designated an individual to prepare the 2014-2015 budget, and that'll be Mr. Chapman, and that'll be on for consent. Then we heard the 2013-14 capital improvement plan, and that'll be on for action. Then we also heard from Mr. Reichling about a multi-year maintenance and support agreement for my learning plan, and that'll be for action. As well as an annual renewal for a Microsoft Select agreement, and that'll be on our consent agenda. And then our last item was a renewal of the City of St. Charles wide area network and that contract, and that's on for consent.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
How about Norris?
Norris, we met as well, and we had two items, our normal bills and treasures report for action, and then we also heard a program called ActiveNet. It was presented to us. Basically, it helps them schedule things, and it can help release bulletins if there's a bad weather, so people get email alerts about classes were canceled and stuff. So right now, there's not really a system in place there, so people would have to call in to find out if classes were canceled or things like that. So, yeah. So that was brought to us.
Okay. And how about policy? As long as we're over on that side.
Policy met to do the press, which is the state's writing of new legislation. It's the way they write it for policy. I think three of them are on consent agenda. One of them we took back and put it aside so that we can look at it more closely and maybe right. Rewrite some of the language because we were all concerned.
Okay. Thank you. How about learning and teaching?
Yes, learning and teaching met. We discussed two main areas. The first was Dr. Poplin was there to talk to us about the new state report cards, which look at progress of the student as opposed to the one time at the end of the school, well, actually in March, that has been examined before. And overall, even though it's another change to assessment and, you know, what tests we're going to use and all these things that are changing currently, the feeling was that it's a very good improvement to look at student growth as opposed to a one-time score. And then the other thing, which is on as an item or on, for items under consent agenda, are the district and school improvement plans. They were discussed by Mrs. McCabe and Dr. Pearson. And the schools, which are in status, not having met AYP for 2 years, we have eight of them. Four elementaries, Anderson, Belgram, Munhall, and Richmond, and two middle schools, Thompson and Redling, and then both East and North High School, in addition to the district. The district is a unique improvement plan. And so they talked about the process, which is Rising Star, which is now a kind of online very formatted process, and talked about the various teams that the process, the teams, the indicators, what things they'll be trying to do at each different site, and it will be done, I believe, every year now for these schools, and likely next year, all if most, if not all, of our schools will be, depending what happens with AYP and what child and everything, but all of our schools will likely be up for having to have improvement plans if they're still doing that a year from now. So those were our things. Our next meeting is next Monday, and we will be learning about some of the new classes that are going to be put together for next year. That didn't sound very good. The pathways for the program. So the main one is world language, or foreign languages, as we used to call them, and then a couple other various programs that are going to be put in. So that's the curriculum impetus for this year. That's it. Next Monday.
Okay. Anything from DPTO?
Yes, DPTO did meet and had a pleasant conversation, and there were a couple of reports and a couple of people, she's not even here anymore, were actually, Ms. Pirog was there to talk about the proposal. Well, actually, I guess it will be on. It's a referendum in the spring for development. Adults with Developmental Disabilities, and the program, which I can't remember the title.
Kids Show You Care Cane.
Show You Care Cane. She talked to DPTO to try and get that word out. And then, actually, do you want to take a moment to talk about it? I'm putting you on the spot, but I mean, we've got the pulpit here, so.
I'd love to always speak about a good cause. It's called the 377 referendum, and it is a countywide referendum which will put a slight increase in our property taxes, mutual property taxes, of about a dollar for about $150,000 worth of your home, a dollar per week for a total of $52 annually. This money will be local, will stay local, will be in control of a county board, which will release the money to a variety of different not-for-profit organizations who will then in turn provide housing, respite, job training, and transportation for adults with developmental disabilities. After the age of 22, once they are released from our tender, loving care, oftentimes most of these individuals, adults, have a life of sitting at home on the couch watching TV because of the little opportunities that are available. So this referendum, which will be on the ballot, the March 18th, I believe, is the election day, for your consideration. It's a wonderful cause. There are, and by the way, there are 14 other counties in Illinois that have this, but we'd be the first one within the Chicagoland area to pass this.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I was just also going to mention that at DPTO, she asked the group how many of those moms, there were moms there, had a student or knew of a student who had developmental disabilities or had someone in their family. And literally everybody in the room raised their hands. So that was a good start. So that was one thing. St. Charles Education Foundation, St. Charles?
Greater Education.
Greater Education Foundation had two of their officers there just to talk about what they're doing. It's funny, after 20-odd years, they still have to constantly remind people what they are, what they do. Whether it's this year or last year, they reached the $1 million mark in having provided those funds to our school district for whatever, whether it's grants, projects, speakers, the literature fund, scholarships, many different things. And so they're quite a great asset to our school district. And then the last thing was that Kathy Litzbeck, she was there, and she was talking about the food program here in our school district. And, of course, the moms kind of wanted to talk about parties and what you can and can't do anymore and how different it is. But she also talked just about the incredible complexity, really, in trying to just feed students within our schools for the free and reduced lunch, and you have a balanced thing, how, you know, they have the federal government now saying you can't, you know, have more than, you can only have low-fat milk, and some of it is crazy stuff, I know, but they have to live by those rules. And it was, I think, very interesting to the moms that were there to see how complicated it is. It's not like they're just throwing a burger at kids and that suffices. So that's what DPTO learned this week, and I don't think they really had anything challenging for Dr. Schloman either in the question-answer front. And we don't meet in December.
Okay, thank you. And how about community relations and housing?
Both met. Community Relations met on November 25th, and there were three items on the agenda. The posting of the Freedom of Information Act, the FOIA requests on our district website, is going to be discussed. It's on the action for tonight's meeting for your consideration. The student liaison was also discussed. We had representatives from both North and East High School, both administrative as well as student, and there's definitely overwhelming support from both high schools to have a student liaison on the Community Relations Committee. The students recommended that they would like to do it as a team, to have two or three students represented at each school. That way they'll have the opportunity to take turns. If one was not able to attend, someone else would be part of it. And working with team development, I think that's going to be a very exciting opportunity. There's also discussion between them of having a mentorship, so that there would be a senior who would be taking the lead with a junior in tow, meaning next year when they'd be serving for a full year, the junior would have some experience, then a seated senior, and get a junior on board as well to go through that mentorship, once again, opportunity. They are very excited to come on board, and that is on our consent agenda. The other item that was discussed was having the school board represent a certain, be a partner with a specific school or schools within the district. That is going to be, there are many questions about what that would look like, what that would entail, the impact upon having a broader perspective within the schools, or just having a narrower focus within a particular couple of schools. So because of the discussion, and there are many more questions than there were answers, that will be discussed in the January 7th meeting. I think it's on January 7th, for consideration and then brought to the board if it's recommended through the community relations. So that was that. And, oh, by the way, as far as the student liaison, I believe with my research we're one of the few school districts that I've been able to discover, and I'm sure there's a few more out there, but not what I was able to find that actually has one student liaison working with the committee. Most of them are all through the board, student liaison through the board. So it's going to be exciting. Looking forward to having that opportunity, that conversation with our students. The Housing Commission, as I mentioned before, has been suspended temporarily, and I hope for a long time, because of affordable housing here in St. Charles. However, we did meet, and there was a, I don't know if any of you had a chance to read the Tribune, but there was a public workshop that was held on November 20th, which I intended and I invited the board to attend at the last meeting, where you're able to give input on how you wanted to have St. Charles look, whether it through multiple housing, transportation, senior housing, which seems to be the biggest impact demographically, what they're looking for, as well as housing for our young returning adults who back from college and want to live back in St. Charles. These are the two niches that have the greatest concern and potentially the greatest need. That recommendation will then be eventually presented to the City Council, and they'll be able to get at least an evaluation of going forward where the housing needs are going to be. Brandel Road is going to be one of the hot hubs for transportation. They want to put in mass transit bus lines through there, which will be great, going up and down from Dundee all the way down to Aurora. And because of that, they're going to be looking to develop some more infrastructure in that area and perhaps more condensed housing, multi-family housing through that corridor. So that was also part of the discussion. You can go online. I've got the link here if you'd like to see it. And it'll
can you email that to us?
Absolutely. I'll mail it to Dr. Schulman, and he'll be able to get it out to everyone.
Okay.
So that was
great. Okay. Did I cover everything? All right. That takes us to the four action part of our agenda. So item 6A, do I have a motion to accept the resolution to adopt aggregate tax levy and stating intent to abate debt service levy for the year 2013.
So moved.
Okay, Mr. Manheim, second. Mr. Gerard. Questions, comments? Okay, would you call the roll, please?
Mrs. Huell.
Yes.
Mr. Manheim.
Yes.
Mrs. McConnell.
Yes.
Mr. McNally.
Yes.
Mrs. Perel.
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney.
No.
Mr. Sterling.
Yes. Motion is approved. And that takes us to item 6B. Do I have a motion to approve the multi-year maintenance and support agreement for My Learning Plan?
So moved.
Mr. Manheim, second.
Second.
Mrs. Huell, okay. Questions, comments, discussion? Mrs.
I'm
McConnell?
Just going to say that I'll be voting no on it because it doesn't directly affect academic education. And I know that we've said before, you know, please, administration, find some ways you can cut back. And I just see that this is probably one that we could, you know, save some money on that doesn't directly affect our kids. So I'll be
okay. Anything further? Okay, would you call the roll, please?
Mr. Manheim.
Yes.
Mrs. McConnell.
No.
Mr. McNally.
Yes.
Mrs. Perrott.
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney.
No.
Mrs. Huell.
Yes.
Mr. Sperling.
Yes. Motion is approved. Takes us to item 6C. Do I have a motion to approve the fiscal year 2013-2014 capital improvement plan?
So moved.
Mr. Manheim, do I have a second? Anyone?
I'll second.
Okay. Mrs. Huell. And questions, comments?
I have a couple.
Okay.
Why are we looking at taking, demolishing the part of the recreation center?
That's on the, it's not the funded part of the of okay. that budget, okay, right now. It's on there as a placeholder for right now until we figure out a recommendation by the board. No recommendation has been made, but that's the part that leaked and had mold in it, yes. And so there's no,
okay.
It's just in a placeholder right now.
It was so tiny
okay.
that it was hard, even looking at here, taking a look at it, and I have one other question. The scoreboard for North High School, is that a current real need right now? Is it?
It doesn't always work.
They don't have like the cups going.
Yeah, there's no kid that walks up behind her and puts it, drops a number in. No, it doesn't always work.
I think it could be career development.
So we replaced the one at East. It's a very basic scoreboard. Mm-hmm. There's nothing to it. If the booster club wants to add to that, they can, but that's some of what we did at East.
And I do applaud the two air conditioning units at Corn and Norton Creek.
Right. They're not in the budget either right yeah, now. We'll be coming back to the board on that. So.
Yes, I understood. That I understood.
Okay.
So when we vote, these last two last two sections are not included in what we're voting on.
They're not
included.
They're
just for information.
Right.
Okay.
They're for information for, you know, that the dollar amount associated with those are out there because there have been items that have been discussed at the board table.
Right. And actually, I would not want to speak up about an item that I talked about at Business Services that I'm not comfortable with is the amount of the number of cameras and surveillance that we're putting in our schools. I understand its importance at some in some areas. And I know I've been kicking and screaming throughout, and sometimes it has helped us. But I'm concerned now that we're putting more cameras in the middle schools, the three middle schools, there are $68,000 in cameras there, and a number of them are to go into areas of music practice rooms. And part of that has to do with, you know, there's the opportunity for a teacher and a student to be alone but I think to myself that if we trust our teachers to be in front of our students, to be in the hallway or to be after school or working on we should not be so paranoid as to have cameras in the music rooms in middle school.
I think it protects the teachers as well.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you think it does?
As a teacher, I will tell you, put cameras everywhere. Put cameras everywhere but the bathroom, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
I would agree.
But I look at it just in terms of the expense of it. I think it's $68,000 that we don't need to
spend. You'll make it
that's
up.
That's my personal opinion, and it really does just go to it's a money issue, but then it's the big brother issue that I fight quite a bit personally. So I just feel that I would have to vote no. I don't want to vote no on everything, and I sure didn't want to vote no on air conditioning. But I don't like that area. So,
well, there are people that are working on, you know, they're working for the public, and they're in a public building, and I frankly don't.
But those teachers will be in a room. It could be in a closet with a student, or working after school tutoring, or whatever.
That's exactly.
I mean, will we put a camera everywhere?
Well,
would that be here?
Anywhere where I am, where I might be alone with a student, I'd want a camera.
Because Kathy, you don't know when a student would think it was fun to bring a complaint against a teacher who didn't do anything wrong. And so that's why, you know.
But that can happen anywhere, you know.
And don't put yourself in that predicament.
After school tutoring?
Well, but when we're talking about a room, a music practice room, where we're putting them in that predicament, you know, we're saying you go into that room alone with that kid because you're giving one-on-one. I want a camera there if I'm a teacher.
Yeah. I would agree. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, I think I'll just represent at least the 10 or 20% of our citizens that think we're getting a little big brother. So,
I
appreciate what you're saying.
I agree with what Jim says too. Don't put yourself in that predicament. And I completely agree. But when we are putting them in that predicament, I think where it's incumbent upon us then to give them that protection against false accusations. So.
I would also support it for the students as well, for their protection, so that they can be equally protected. If they are asked to go into a music room from their perspective, they know that someone is watching them and making sure that all behavior is in the up and up, irregardless if it's with a teacher or with another student.
Yeah. I agree. Sounds big brotherish, but I think it's a necessity. Mm-hmm.
I don't like them on the street. I don't like them everywhere. But when we're talking about in a building where we're putting teachers in a position where they will be alone with a student, I think that it protects everyone.
I agree. Okay, any further comments, questions? Okay, seeing none, would you call the roll, Mr. Ashford?
Mrs. McConnell.
Yes.
Mr. Ashford?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mrs. Perret?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
No.
Mrs. Huell?
No.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mr. Sproul?
Yes. Motion is approved. And it takes us to item 6D. Do I have a motion to approve posting FOIA requests on district website?
So moved.
Ms. McNally, do I have a second? Ms. Perret? Questions? Comments?
I think in the interest of transparency, I think it's a great idea to make sure that people know if there's a question. If a FOIA request comes out, we're not doing multiple work. I mean, we discussed all this where we're not repeating the same work.
Right.
Well, actually, we are repeating some of the same work because a FOIA that can go to a parent can have their child's name on it. Then, if it's going to go out for general, all the names have.
It goes through names. A second.
Well, exactly. And the problem is, I think a lot of that kind of work also gets done by lawyers, and that's expensive. And that's why I think it's expensive and has a redundancy in it.
And staff who knows enough to how to redact it.
Well, but you don't know exactly what information that might seem innocuous, but somebody could twist something around it. I mean, what would be the process, just so we're all clear, on making sure that everything that goes out is going to be clean, let's say? Or properly redacted?
Well, most of it will be done by our staff. Occasionally, if there's involving student information, we're going to be checking with legal counsel to make sure what can and cannot be released in regards to that. So, a FOIA comes in requesting, you know, from an agency that requesting our contract, we would post that response on the, you know, that would not be requiring any redacting or anything else. A FOIA comes in from a parent who says, you know, I want to know this stuff about, you know, some of that. We might release some information to that parent specifically about their child through a FOIA process that we would want to make sure were redacted if someone else was seeing it. So we'd have to go have and for those kind of information, we'd have to have a two-step process of which legal counsel would more than likely be involved. Is that fair to say?
Yes, that would be fair. Although there also is a school of thought that if it is information about a particular student for their parents, that should be part of the student record request and should be denied as part of a FOIA anyway.
Right. It depends on what they're asking for specifically. If it's not, it may not be part of student records and that.
Right.
And you did see legal counsel also weighed in regards to a letter and their recommendations.
I would like to make sure about that because it was actually not very visible.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No. You had to really go through things and find the one page. Okay. And so I think I'd just like to ask board members to make sure that you did see the specific recommendations and brought up some really good points, and they included things like inadvertent errors that then can be a huge deal. A secondary issue, they brought up several issues, but one of them was there's some personnel issues which need to remain in closed session but are FOIA-able.
Correct.
He didn't give any specifics on what that was, and I think that was another area where you're putting things into bad light. I believe also that it was just, you know, the time involved. I'm trying to remember everything he said, and I hate to go by what he had said because I've been concerned about these things all along. I think it's uncommon for a school district to do this. We're on the bleeding edge if we want to put FOIAs on. Things involving reports, specifics, I'm actually okay with. This list of bills. But I would like to point out, for example, this was a FOIA from October 3rd. It was 60 hours. We just approved it. It was in the minutes from the last meeting. It was 60 hours. It asked a specific here and a little specific there. And I think he did kind of bring that up, is that there are ways that certain things might be asked, it's not really giving out clear information. It's putting together a narrative of the FOIA, a person's choosing. And I think very often in a way to be mischievous or even worse.
Any questions that might arise from that, though, I think we can then address.
But we're not addressing them because they're on the website, and anybody will just pick it up and go, oh, my gosh, you know, there was this. It was twice. I shouldn't even give specifics, but
right.
There are reasons for things. And then when you have a FOIA out there and it's just on the website, there's no way to explain it. It's just there. And actually, as a board member, we don't know when something is FOIA'd. We don't know what's there unless, you know, we would request it. And so there could be just a lot of things that don't make sense, but you parcel it out and you pick out a piece here and there. And so that's another piece. In addition, I'm just very concerned about inadvertent errors and things that could get us in deep legal trouble, you know, if there were some personnel or personal or whatever information. And there it is. It's not only given out in a FOIA to a person in an error because there's 60 hours of information. It's now on the website. Bigger liability in my view. And people can FOIA, and I'm fine with that. I'm just concerned about this particular action we're looking at here. I think it's really problematic, and I would like to just further say that if other districts start going that way, and it seems to have some, there seems to be some method to it, some meaning to it, some usefulness to it, then I'd like to revisit it. But I don't think we need to be like the second district in Illinois doing it.
There were multiple districts you had listed at the meeting that were doing this
one.
Or some.
And off the top of my head, and I had sent links to the board members for 46 Carpentersville that are just in our area that do this, and also the state board. But I believe I also sent information to the board that said what some of the districts around us were doing.
Right, but it's not always the same thing that we're talking about here. We're talking about everything, emails, anything that's FOIA'd. And so each one is doing different things.
The majority of it, wasn't it?
I think 300 does does it all, right?
From what I understand from talking to my compatriots, it's an all-or-nothing type thing. You run into some problems if you start saying, well, we're going to put this one up and not this one.
So you cannot do it by class. For instance, if somebody asks for FOIA financial records, which, full disclosure, of course, they should be made available. But if someone wanted to have personal...
Well, the difficulty would be is that you would have, in one FOIA, potentially both of those pieces of information. So it would be difficult for us to say, I think we either say it's fish or fowl, and we either say we're posting it or we're not. So I don't know that we can say, yeah, we'll post that information, but not this information.
Because of the concern of the length of work that is being done currently on these FOIAs, I'm just going to throw this out there. Has there been discussion about having a FOIA officer?
Well, he is the FOIA officer.
I know, but a separate one beyond the two to be supervised. I know, you wear many hats. You wear many hats. I'm talking about a specific person, even working part-time, that would be in charge of doing this research so that our other administrators can do what they need to do.
Yeah. Now we're talking money.
If you don't mind, I would. We do not have as many FOIA requests as other public bodies that are in the area. We have a couple that are rather challenging from time to time, but for the most part, most of the FOIA requests that we receive are vendors asking for what the final contract was in a bidding process, where you just take the contract and here you go, and they take a few minutes to comply with.
So there isn't a critical need that we're seeing.
In my estimation, no, and I guess I probably don't like the competition here. But being honest with you, I do not see that as a critical need.
Okay. All right, good. That's good to hear. I understand what Mrs. Hewell is saying about our own liability of letting information out that may be misinterpreted. But I do believe that the risk of not having that information out to have full transparency within the district is even something of greater concern. So I would support this.
I agree with what Corrine just said, because if information isn't out there, you don't give somebody a starting point. You give somebody a rumor point. And rumors are...
True, but I mean, certainly anybody can FOIA anything. That's right. Absolute. We're not questioning that at all. We're questioning this public display of everything.
No, I
emails.
Understand. I'm saying if we have it there, we can direct someone to a FOIA should they have a question. And should something... certainly there can be... People can misconstrue... You can misconstrue almost anything, but... should somebody misconstrue what's on a website as a result of a FOIA, if it gets to the point where there's, you know, where they bring some sort of an action or begin to question it, you know, we're in a position then to answer it and to be consistent and say, look, from start to finish, we've been transparent on this issue and clarify misconceptions, and certainly there's nothing to say. I don't imagine that there's anything to say that we can't clarify at some place on our website if there's something needs clarification.
I think there's a specter of mistrust with governmental bodies that seems to be somewhat pervasive, and this is one way that would open up that door. So all to see that there is nothing to hide.
As I say, if somebody wants to know something specific, they can ask. There's no requirement by law to have it on your website, and very, very few other districts are doing it. I just close by saying, you know, do we want to be the guinea pig for another litigious area?
Well, we want to be the leading edge on a lot of things. I think being the leading edge in kind of transparency is probably the best place to start.
Further comments? Questions? Okay, seeing none, would you call the roll, please?
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mrs. Perrott?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
No.
Mrs. Hewell?
No.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mrs. McCown?
Yes.
Mr. Sperling?
No. The motion is approved. And that takes us to the consent agenda. Are there any items that anyone would like to move from the consent agenda?
Personnel report.
Personnel report. What item is B? 7B?
You know what? I'm looking 7B. At it up here, and it's not.
Okay. All right, we have 7B. Anything else?
I'd like to move K.
7K?
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda with the exception of item 7B and item 7K?
So moved.
Okay, Ms. McNally, do I have a second? Ms. Puret? Any questions or comments? Okay, would you call the roll, please?
Mrs. Puret?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
I'll abstain.
Mrs. Huell?
Yes.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mrs. McConnell?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mr. Sperling?
Yes. Motion is approved. And then do I have a motion to approve item 7B? Anyone?
So
Mrs. Huell, do I have a second? And Ms. Manick, okay, discussion?
Discussion. Once again, yet again, we have two new hires with no experience. But throughout all of the school improvement plans, I keep seeing how we are going to do training, we are going to be teaching the teachers, we are going to, you know, and I just would like to see us hire teachers who are already trained, and I'm going to vote no.
Okay. Anything else? Okay. Seeing none, would you call the roll, please?
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Huell?
Yes.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mrs. McConnell?
No.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mrs. Pratt?
Yes.
Mr. Sperling?
Yes. Okay, motion is approved, and do I have a motion to approve item 7K?
So moved.
Okay, do I have a second? Second?
Second.
Okay. Ms. McNally? Okay, questions?
We discussed this in policy. It's a new, part of a new law, press edit. And there's a new section regarding special school board member responsibilities, which I have concerns about because it's involving child abuse. And in the earlier sections that are added, it talks about any district employee who observes any act of hazing or does bodily harm, any district employee who discovers child pornography, things like that. But when it gets to the school board, it talks about each individual board of education member must, if an allegation is raised to the member during an open or closed board of education meeting that a student is an abused child or defined in the act, should direct or cause the superintendent to act. The problem that I have is in the other cases, those people observe it. They see it, they find child pornography, any of those things. I'm concerned that as a board member, if somebody says to me, you know, Johnny's mother hits him or something, I don't know. I haven't seen it. I'm concerned that it's not just the first person who did the hitting and report. It's another person to me, and I have to direct the superintendent. And I am my concern is just that allegations can just be made. Allegations and false
can't we
allegations.
Change the wording? Can't we change the wording?
I don't know.
This is part of a state law, right?
Yes.
But it's just a new. All of the new is in red, I guess. And so the school board responsibilities, what makes it unique that now it's got the red titling. I discussed it some at that time at our policy meeting. I did go because it was a concern of mine. And so the concern just has to do with direct action. In all the other cases, everyone else is part of seeing and doing. And here it's like if it's just raised, you're supposed to do something. And
Well, first off, if I can clarify a couple things. One is that that's only the case when you're acting as a board member.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's not when you're, you know, filling up gas at the gas pump and somebody comes up and says, hey, did you know that? You have to be acting in the role of the board member. So a good example might be, is although this district does it differently, most districts do expulsions directly with the students. So you might, at an expulsion hearing, you know, a board member might hear, you know, well, you know, I hit that, you know, I'm going to beat him up. You know, the parent might say that, something like that, if you guys expel him. Well, that would cause you to then direct me to make a report on that. Even as a superintendent or a teacher, it doesn't necessarily that we have to directly see it. It could be that we come and get a situation where another kid comes to us and says, you know, I saw Johnny's dad beat him. We don't necessarily have to see that. We have an obligation to report that.
As an employee.
As an employee. And just
and they have training in these kinds of, you know, being able to discern.
Right, and you're obligated to get that training as well, which you can get online.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you did mention that, I take it. It doesn't say
it's something that, on top of in practical reality, if it occurs during a board meeting, he's here.
Yeah.
Right. And he's a mandated reporter for the district already.
Right.
So it's really, that's kind of not saying a lot. You know, but as far as, I understand the concern, and as a teacher, I've had to deal with mandated reporter status for years, and in fact, very recently, I've had to deal with this at work. And it's troublesome, but this doesn't really direct us to do anything other than he's required to do already. He's there, and he's going to know it, and he's going to act in the proper manner. So all we'd have to do is turn to him and say, "Did you hear that?" And kind of we're done. So it is troublesome language.
It is trouble. It's kind of the creep of it's just the allegation from who knows.
Yeah.
It's gossip, potentially.
I've felt this way for as long as I've been a mandated reporter, because every year I have to sign a paper saying I'm a mandated reporter as a teacher. And that's been troublesome for me for years, because if a kid just comes up to me, even jokes, and says, you know, boy, that kid's mother is just going to beat him senseless, and I know it's not going to happen, I still have to go and report that. And that's troublesome to me. It's always been because that's at risk of forfeiture of my teaching certificate.
Right.
So, right. You know, it's troublesome. It's always been troublesome to me because it takes away any sort of discretion. But, you know, fortunately for us in a meeting like that, he's there and, you know, they've really essentially taken his discretion away as far as that's concerned too. So, unfortunately.
Yeah, this is, I mean, you're absolutely right. The discretion, quite frankly, is built into after the report. It's not unusual that DCFS just says, okay, we got the report. That's all they'll do with it. They won't necessarily do anything with it. But you've covered your end of the bargain, so to speak.
Or we have protected a child again.
Correct.
Right. Any further questions, comments? Okay, the motion was to approve item 7K. Would you call the roll, please?
Mrs. Hewitt.
Yes. Yes.
Mr. Manheim.
Yes.
Mrs. McCallum.
Yes.
Mr. McNally.
Yes.
Mrs. Perrott.
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney.
Yes.
Mr. Spur.
Yes, motion is approved. Everyone has their FOIA information, the FOIA requests, financial report. Anything like that on either? Okay. Is there any new business from any members? Okay. Seeing none, do I have a motion to adjourn to closed session by roll call vote for the purpose of student discipline? Also, the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the public body or legal counsel for the public body, including hearing testimony on a complaint lodged against the employee of the public body or against legal counsel for the public body to determine its validity?
If I can just interject, we won't be doing number two because there was a resignation that you approved,
right,
so
yes.
That was there for that purpose. So,
okay. But then also for litigation, when an action against, affecting, or on behalf of the particular public body has been filed and is pending before a court or administrative tribunal, or when the public body finds that an action is probable or imminent, in which case the basis for the finding shall be recorded and entered into the minutes of the closed meeting, and also the placement of individual students in special education programs and other matters relating to individual students.
So moved.
Do I have a second? Mrs. McConnell, second it.
Okay. All right, would you call the roll, please?
Mr. Manheim.
Yes.
Mrs. McCallum.
Yes.
Mr. McNally.
Yes.
Mrs. Perak.
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney.
No, because of transparency that goes to item 13B. I don't understand why we don't discuss that in open session.
Mrs. Hewitt.
Yes.
Mr. Sperling.
Yes. Okay, let's take a 10-minute...
No, five-minute
break? Five-minute break.
For education purposes, it's expected the board will take action in open session after the executive session.
So 5 minutes, and 8:05, we'll be back in the room. Okay, we are back in open session. This is District 303, Board of Education. It is 8:54 p.m. on Monday, December 9th, 2013. And would you call the roll, please?
Mr. McNally.
Here.
Mrs. Perak.
Here.
Mr. Gaffney.
Here.
Mrs. Hewitt.
Here.
Mr. Manheim.
Here.
Mrs. McCallum.
Here.
Mr. Sperling.
Here. Okay, so that takes us to 2-4 action items. Do we have a motion? Or
yes.
Motion? Okay.
Can I do that one first?
Yeah. Do I have a motion for the student discipline?
Yeah. I move that student E131403, who is referred to this Board of Education for possible expulsion, be permitted to attend a safe schools program in lieu of expulsion for the remainder of the 2013-2014 school year and the entire 2014-2015 school year, on the condition that that student and his or her parent or guardian elect to attend the program by signing an agreement for attendance in safe schools program in the form previously approved by the Board of Education.
Okay, do I have a second? Mrs. Puret? Okay, any discussion, questions? Okay, would you call the roll, please?
Mrs. Perak?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Hewitt?
Yes.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mrs. McCallum?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mr. Sperling?
Yes, motion is approved. And then do I have a motion to accept settlement agreement proposed by the complainants with respect to their OCR complaint, student records challenge, and claims under the Freedom of Information Act involving the payment of $117,600. We have a motion?
So moved.
Mrs. Pirog? Second?
Second.
Mrs. Buell? Okay. Any questions, comments? Okay. And just to be clear, this is to accept the agreement. So, would you call the roll, please?
Mr. Gaffney?
No.
Mrs. Hewell?
No.
Mr. Manheim?
No.
Mrs. McCallum?
No.
Mr. McNally?
Abstain.
Mrs. Perot?
No.
Mr. Sperling?
No. And motion is denied. Takes us to adjournment. Any new business? Seeing none. All in favor, do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Nay. Okay. Thank you, everybody.